in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode number 181 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very well. I'm very good.
Getting some more in.
I'm just sorting out. I'm setting up the blog to do later.
Yeah.
When you and I have finished, so I can be on the ball.
Thanks for the reminder. Yeah, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, and along with each of these wonderful, enlightening, enthusing podcasts we do each week, Sean writes a few words.
Pearls of wisdom.
There's a blog post for each one of these, is what I'm trying to say. The easiest way to get it is if you sign up for our email alerts, put your name on one, in your email address in one of the boxes on the website, and each week we'll send you a link to the podcast and the blog pretty much as soon as it goes online.
It's cool. Just like whoosh, and it's there.
What a service. Can you believe it?
Amazing. It's better than the post.
And how much does all this cost?
Nothing.
Unbelievable. Not yet. podcast will always be free at the point of delivery.
Can you hear how echoey it is in here?
Yeah, I should just say, where are we, Sean?
We're in Paradise Road. We're in Paradise, that's where we are.
No, Pacific Road. It is Paradise.
And you began with P.
Pacific Road, business.
All I want is to be Paradise.
You're on the world, yeah. My new office is still a little bit lacking in furniture. And,
it's a bit echoey at the moment.
Some soft furnishings and some stuff on the walls, but we're getting there, right?
Yeah, it's looking good.
It's a cool spot, I must say. I'm enjoying working here.
It's a real happening place. I bet this is going to be, when this is all finished, it's going to be a really creative hub.
It's
amazing.
That is part of the plan, actually. The other end of the building is going to be just that.
Yeah.
Next year, I believe. But a spot of funding came through for it, so.
So is that European funding?
Funnily enough, it is, actually. Yeah, this whole thing was, part financed by European Council, or whatever you like.
All that'll go.
Yeah.
They want their money back.
I'm sure it'll be replaced by something equally as generous. And
do you think?
Maybe not. I've just been listening to the autumn statement, so perhaps not. We shall see.
Oh, is it not looking good?
Tough times.
All right.
Worried for a long, cold winter, aren't we? Of discontent.
Nice to hear that positive framework.
No, you're joking. No, we're all really happy. We're excited. That's what we are talking about today. We're talking about surviving the winter, aren't we?
Yeah.
As these long nights draw in.
Well, maybe surviving sounds a bit extreme. Maybe enjoying the winter would be a good one.
We're not going to be mentioning like collecting in acorns and stuff. It's probably a bit late for that already, actually. All the good acorns have gone. Quick mention to our partners, 123 Friday. If you go to the website and look for the logo or on the email that we send, click that and sign up to their fantastic backup app for your phone, for your tablet. £10 a year will back up all of your photos, videos and contacts. That's nothing. And on the back of that, live in the present and get a little kickback as well for each person that signs up. So it's a small way you can help the podcast and get something decent in return. Not bad, eh?
Very good.
Check out the website for more on that. How you doing, Sean? What's tricks?
Very, very good. We've just been away for our London trip. Tend to do every autumn.
Yeah.
So had a good time down, go on an island on the Thames, which is pretty exciting, which is good. And we went to see Pride and Prejudice with Matthew Kelly, which was fun. And then on the Friday, we were in the audience of Loose Women, which was amazing. That was good fun.
And I believe they got you up doing a dance.
Yeah, they got me up dancing, yeah. If you want your bones,
are you actually on telly dancing?
No, I was part of the warm-up in the end.
Well, just trying to get everyone excited.
It's amazing. The guy that does the warm-up on that does the warm-up on things like Strictly Come Dancing and stuff like that, and you never hear about it.
No.
But if he wasn't doing what he did, there would be no show. He was the most amazing guy. Incredible.
I went when I was younger in 2001. I went to New York for a little college trip, and we went in the audience for the Ricky Lake show.
Right.
Remember back?
Jerry
Springer era. So Ricky Lake showed. There's the same for them. Some guy came out and, you know, gets everyone pumped up and excited. And then
But those guys, you never hear about who they are, and yet because every time it cut to a commercial break, the guy's back out again, working the audience, getting them going. You know, it was good. Yeah. He was clever.
Okay.
Clever.
Good. Sounds like fun. All right. Fun. Cool. But I'm doing well as well. just in this building, actually, there was the Frost Fair at the weekend, which was good laugh.
Yeah.
Could see the building so full of life and mulled wine and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all happening. So that leads nicely into this week's episode, really. A listener of the show, Jill, emailed in with a little suggestion, just asking if we could perhaps talk about, well, getting through the winter months, because, you will have noticed, I'm sure, depending on when you're listening to this, that the night's drawing in. I have to set off from the office at about 4-ish, really, so it's not too dark on my cycle home. Slightly smaller chance of me getting kind of hit by a car.
Do you have lights on your bike?
I do, yeah.
And do you wear luminous clothes?
No, I don't. I need to get all that kit for my birthday, which is coming up.
No.
Yeah.
Was that like a hint?
Yeah, really subtle hint there. Ed's got a birthday coming up, folks.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to send a gift in for Ed so he can be seen on the dark.
Whatever you want, yeah, bottle of wine, cycling apparel.
The bottle of wine wouldn't help you be seen in the dark. That's just going to make you glow.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I'll take anything is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the winter is coming. And at this time of year, Sean, do you see a spike or an incline in the amount of people you've seen, or is it just like the type of
The type of weather. It hasn't got dark yet. It's still been quite bright, although the nights are beginning to draw in, but the days have been bright. Mm. And that's what affects people's depression levels. So it hasn't hit like it would normally hit. But having said that, the whole year has been crazy busy mad.
Yeah.
It's been like non-stop. So there is a lot of stuff going on. Anyway,
it's been a busy year. Just not. I mean, a lot of people online are saying they just want to forget about 2016. You know, the whole political situation, and then a lot of celebrities, like well thought of people, seem to have
dropped off the perch.
Yeah, this year, Leonard Cohen being a recent one, and there's all sorts. Too many to mention, really.
Yeah,
strange how it's kind of a lot been condensed.
I bet you know those programmes they do at the end of the year that take you back through the year. They're going to be quite poignant this year.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. Maybe we're just a bit more kind of aware of all this stuff, or maybe.
Don't a lot of things have happened, haven't they? I mean, with the whole Brexit thing, you got the Trumpy thing going on over there. There's everything that's going on in Syria. It's been like one hell of a year for things, isn't it?
One thing after the other.
Yeah. But
it's not like December 31st, January the 1st, things will magically change. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But let's all be positive and see what we can do.
Yeah, but as you're saying, so you start to see kind of a different type of case in the people that you're seeing.
Depression.
As well.
People get depressed when it gets dark. And it's the issue of vitamin D levels drop, which are already very low. I keep going on about it. If you haven't had your vitamin D level checked, go to your GP. They'll really hate me for getting you to do it, but go get your vitamin D level
is
checked.
Is that a blood test?
Yeah, yeah. Over 70% of British people are vitamin D deficient. And when people are vitamin D deficient, their serotonin levels drop.
Right.
So we get high rates of depression. And that's what SAD syndromes are about in the winter months. And it's because vitamin D is dropping, serotonin drops, mood levels drop. And then the classic is people start to self-medicate with cake. With carbohydrates to build up the level of serotonin in their system to compensate.
Yeah.
So Jilly, who sent this request in, she knows. So hi, Jilly, if you're listening to this, because I always we have this joke between us, which is you need to eat cake in the winter to get your mood level up. So cake is the cure. All you know.
That's what'll do it. Okay, yeah. Well, do you recommend therefore vitamin D supplements, or is this just the case?
I think that when your vitamin D is as low as lots of people's is right now. Vitamin D supplements are the only option. Ideally, you get it from your diet and you get it from being exposed to enough sunlight without smothering yourself in sunblock, because that just cuts out the vitamin D. Uh-huh. You've got to be sensible about it. You know, mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. It's like don't go out when it's really, really hot, but make sure that you get enough exposure to the sun on your skin to get your vitamin D levels up. Make sure your diet's right. But also check it. You'll be amazed the amount of people that when they go and have their vitamin D levels checked realise that they have to have some kind of supplement.
I'm due a blood test because I try and do it every 6 months more for cholesterol, just checking that. But I know last time I was in, she was showing me all sorts of different graphs, and I'm sure one of those will be vitamin D, I assume, when you do a blood test.
They don't tend to do it normally. You have to ask for it as an extra.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why I say the local GPs get cheesed off with me, because people keep coming and saying, Sean, Ted, can I have vitamin D?
I wonder if that's something that you can, in the coming kind of health revolution tech-wise, that you can do at home. And I know you can get blood tests, you know, sent to your house now and do a little.
Yeah. The thing about vitamin D is a vitamin, but it's also a hormone. It's produced in the skin, and lots of people argue about whether we should be calling it a hormone rather than a vitamin, because it has such a profound effect.
How long can, if you do have get a good amount of sun in the summer, how long does it last into the winter? Can
you... If you think of a scale, the scale should be, you should be at 100% by the time you get to the end of the summer.
Is it like a phone or an electric car?
You charge it up. Yeah, exactly like that, yeah. And by the end of the winter, it's down to about 50%, and you take it back up to 100%. I've been seeing people who, in the middle of the summer, are below 20%, and they should be at 100%, which means that in the winter, their vitamin D levels hit crucial, which is depression and low mood, but also it's a pre-disease. There are lots of diseases that come about through a lack of vitamin D.
Okay,
you know, so it is really important.
We have talked about this actual theme in probably about a year ago, actually, if you look back.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I'm always going on about it. I'm going to have it printed on my forehead.
Seasonal affective.
Check your vitamin D.
Yeah.
So important.
But something else you kind of recommend is, it's kind of a bit weird how we have our summer holidays in the summer. We should have a summer holiday in the
winter.
In the winter as well.
Yeah, if you're going to go away somewhere, why don't we go away in the summer? Why don't we stay here and get what we can out of here?
Yeah.
And then when it gets cold and dark in the winter, go somewhere warm.
If you can afford to.
The people in the office next door appear to be having a good time.
I noticed that, we've got some gibbons next door or something. Just a couple of happy ladies.
Yeah, I'll have to bring one of those pod things that I use for recording it.
I'm a bad neighbour. I actually haven't knocked next door and said hello yet. I need to go and introduce myself. I found a cool article on health.com all about this topic, which I'm going to blatantly plagiarise and use for inspiration. Really good list of things that people might not always think about in terms of why they're feeling a bit lower and a bit more cheesed off in the winter months, beyond the obvious one about it being dark and miserable and cold. Some really good points here. First of all, I think when it does get colder, we do have a habit, quite rationally, of staying inside more and moving less, so basically getting less exercise.
But that then feeds back to the brain, because when you exercise, your endorphins flow in your brain. If you'd stop exercising, they stop flowing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of fortunate getting to the office here. I have to cycle, because we have one car. The missus takes it to work, so if I want to get into the office, which I do, thankfully, this is a place I really want to be, and I've been coming every day, I have to get on my bike and either at least cycle to the train station for a mile and then get the train. But it's 4.3 miles cycle ride.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Which I can do in just under 20 minutes.
Very good.
I think I could do it in 15 if the lights were with me, and I'm just trying to perfect the route, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of forcing myself. I have to ride, otherwise I can't get to work. So
the whole issue about fitness and the drive to get everybody to walk 10,000 steps a day, and we're looking at the idea that if you can walk for half an hour continuously. And we know that if you make your heart beat for 20 minutes, then your brain will secrete serotonin and the other endorphins.
Yeah.
But it's the 20 minutes is the thing. You've got to get your system going. And it's easy in the winter to think, it's too cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas if you can actually dare yourself, even on Christmas Day, to kind of get out, go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, before dinner, after dinner, whatever.
I mean, it does weather depending slightly, but as long as it's not raining, get yourself wrapped up. I really enjoy the good.
But even if it's raining, you're not going to dissolve, are you? You're not going to melt.
No, acid rain isn't an issue anymore.
No.
Move more. And the whole issue about not being a hermit as well, really, not just for the physical benefits, but also in terms of getting involved and being a part of a community, even in the winter, you know, and seeing people.
If you look at the way that we evolved, the winter was the time when people would gather together around fires and people would tell stories. That people tended to work while they were doing it, but they would be working like mending nets, doing sewing, mending things, repairing tools that they'd be using in the fields. There'd be all kinds of stuff going on, but they would now be indoors around the fire doing it. And while they're doing it, someone tells a story. So you get this kind of whole social storytelling, the original sort of listening to the TV kind of experience as a group of people.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that was probably when people started drinking things like mulled wine and mulled beers around the fireplace. I can remember going to a place, come where I was in, maybe been in Germany, where you had a metal mug of beer and they used a red hot poker and they put the poker in the beer, and the beer had herbs in, but when they put it, all kind of boiled from the hot pokers out of the fire.
Wow.
So it especially how they originally mulled things.
I do love a bit of mulled wine, blimey. I mean, yeah, we've talked about quite a bit about my little group of houses where I live, a special little
very hygge.
Yeah, but I mean, I've noticed it already, you know, I don't see my neighbours half anywhere near as much as we did in the summer months when all the kids were playing in the front every night and the doors were open.
Yeah.
I'm leaving when it's kind of bright when I'm leaving in the morning, so I might say hello to a few of them, but I'm getting back and it's dark, and even if there was someone coming in, I can't really see them, so...
Yeah.
I guess I need to make a bit more effort to just not call them, just say hello and maybe have a cup of tea here and there.
Yeah, but that's the thing, it's gathering together. Yeah. Is that we've isolated ourselves off into these little boxes that we live in.
Yeah.
Now, how often do we open the door and invite someone else in?
I know.
You know.
So, especially there's an older lady opposite us, and, you know, I used to, in the summer, I would chat to her when she'd come out to kind of brush the leaves in the front, out front or whatever, and I need to probably knock for her and just make sure she's doing all right.
Yeah.
And we all do, don't we, collectively?
Yeah.
Because the indoor, or the emotion, or the energy that's released when you actually meet your person and have a good old catch-up.
Yeah. But also, if you think about that time when people were gathered together in the winter months and socialising whilst they were working, it would have been a huge time. It would have been like an educational time when skills would have been passed on. Then they may have been skills of kind of, you know, knitting, sewing, and learning how to use tools and things.
Yeah.
But also there would have been other knowledge, you know, recipes, ways of living, knowledge about the family or knowledge about the history of the tribe or whatever gets passed on when people come together and begin to share.
Yeah.
And then they tell stories. Can you remember when? And so we learn about history and stuff like that.
Mm.
You know, but it's only by people gathering and talking.
Yeah. We kind of put this one on ourselves, but there's a lot of pressure and stress at Christmas, but you know, in the run-up to Christmas, which is a wonderful time, but we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves, don't we, in terms of initially financially, the amount of money that people have to spend now to make sure everyone has their present and everyone gets their £30 allocated per person for a present. How much did you spend on me? How much did you spend on them? It's just crack, isn't it? The amount of pressure.
Do you mean you've only spent £30 on my present? You mean.
Yeah. Damn, you blown it. I didn't spend anything. Well, that's not the only...
It was priceless.
Yeah, exactly. I made you a net. A fishing net.
I'll mend it then.
Yeah. But that pressure we put on ourselves, at Christmas in particular, financially, ain't healthy, is it really? Especially at a time when, you know... If you're watching the news, and we don't recommend that you do, financially a lot of people are struggling at the moment.
Well, I get back into that thing about stuffmas. You know, it's not Christmas, it's stuffmas. And my thing about if I can't eat it or drink it, I don't want it kind of feeling, you know, because it's so ridiculous, the amount of stuff. I have that thing, it happened again this year, we're down in London, we go down Oxford Street, and you go into places like Selfridges, which is just an emporium of opulence, and people with absolutely crazy amounts of money spending crazy amounts of money on stuff. And outside of there, you've got people, homeless people on the street. And it's like the contrast is so huge. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? Mad.
Yeah, we've got a long way to go before we can overcome our obsession with stuff. But I think we need to get to grips with it, really. But there are ways, you know. We're not all tied into that. There's no rule saying you have to spend £50, let's say, per person at Christmas. There are, there's things you can make, there's things you can do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, to kind of, I talk about food. I like food. I like creating food. But the idea of if you can eat it or drink it, well, you can make a lot of that stuff. I know a lovely lady, Karen, down in Wrexham, and she quite often would suddenly come up with a bottle of slow gin or limoncello that she's made, and really kind of clever stuff. And those kinds of gifts are priceless because they are things that you couldn't buy anywhere. But it means someone put that kind of energy and time and love into creating that for you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of easy to rush into Toys R Us and grab something and rush out again.
Yeah, it is, I know. And I don't know. Yeah, people appreciate these things a bit more if you've laboured on it, I think. But yeah, it is an easier option, I guess, to leg it into Toys R Us or whatever it may be.
Yeah, in our busy, mad world. And well, then we're back to the stress and the depression stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not just financially, because when we have to, you know, and we want to show our appreciation to our friends and family, this time of year, it is the easier option to go into a place like that and save time, because we have so much to organise at this time of year, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
That itself creates a lot of stress.
So how many are you cooking for on Christmas Day?
10.
Yeah.
10 adults and then two lads, the two little ones on the end. So that's 12. They're people, aren't they? I think they are cattle.
Yeah, we'll allow them to
officially
be.
Officially, they are human beings. Yeah. Although I do wonder sometimes when I see Will running around in his in his undies or less. So you know, it's a month and a bit away, Christmas.
Yeah,
no, it's a month. Yeah, just over a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot to organise, man. And
a lot of stuff to do.
Starting to feel the pressure a little bit, and we've got Will's birthday a few days before Christmas. I've got my birthday before that as well, which I don't demand much at all, like yourself, but still. Yeah, man, there's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves that we don't need to, do we?
No. But where does the expectation come from? Is it the expectation of what I want someone to give me, or is it their expectation of what they think I'm going to think of them?
Mm.
You know, am I going to be thinking, well, that's a cheap present. I obviously don't mean much to them, kind of thing. It all gets crazy.
Also, when you're seeing people that are stressed about Christmas and they've got so much to do, or... are you advising them to just take a step back and not put so much pressure on?
If you think about winter generally, winter is a time of slowing down. It's a time when the rest of the world, of the material, physical world, starts to hibernate. You know, things close down, the trees all go to sleep. You know, people, little furry things, curl up in little dens and go to sleep. It's us mad human beings that keep running around producing cars and computers. And our whole system is saying, stop, slow down. You know, the summer's the time when you energise and you do stuff. This is time when you stop and you recuperate.
Yeah.
Yeah, build up your stores again. And the thing I always like about winter is cake. And I like the idea of puddings and custard.
Okay.
We have a great tradition in this country of spotted dicks and jam roly-polies and all that kind of stuff and syrup puddings.
We're a funny bunch, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's Brits.
Yeah, but there's something about those kinds of... they're like childhood desserts somehow. But the custard, that are so kind of warming and have that comfort.
Yeah.
Serotonin-enhancing carbs, that's what it is. Nice and warm and really good.
Just make sure you go for a walk afterwards to burn it all off.
Yeah, get a balance. Yeah, pig out, but make sure you move while you're doing it. Yeah. You get one of those exercise bikes in front of the telly so you could eat your food and watch the telly and exercise.
Well, yeah, I mean, two of the things on the list as well are about diet.
Yeah.
And alcohol intake, which is the same thing, really, which, again, both of which can increase in the winter months for, you know, actual... real reasons in terms of putting on an extra layer just so we can stay warmer.
I'm on a hot toddy. There are problems when you get into some of the northern countries, places like Finland, where they talk about suicide month, you know, where it's been dark for a long time and people have been belting the booze too much. You know, they've been compensating for the fact that they have a lack of serotonin by boosting their dopamine levels with the booze.
Yeah.
Yeah, to try and make themselves feel better when it's kind of dark and miserable.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like that idea of doing other things to enliven your system, like move your body. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you can't have a drink, but make sure you get the balance right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those fortunate people that it may hit me later in life, but I can't. I find it quite tricky to put on weight.
Yes, you beast.
I'm sorry, aren't I? But this time of year, a lot of people will maybe think nothing of kind of piling on a stone or two in the knowledge that it will come off probably, you know, in the year, and that's just the way their bodies work. But
in historical terms, in the winter, you needed more fat to get you through, but also to insulate you, to keep you warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite a natural process to get heavier in the winter and then let it come off in the spring. Mm. And that's as it should be. It's us that tries to go against nature and to make it.
I guess the issue now is different. Yeah, we're piling on the pounds in the winter, and we've got the heating cranked up. That's where some weight issues can become a bit of an issue.
Yeah, but also the hotter you have the house, the colder the outside appears, and it feels even worse when you go out in the cold.
Yeah, that's the vicious cycle about kind of not going out and not getting exercise, and then not seeing people and feeling lonely. Yep. Loneliness is one of the major issues surely facing the Western world at the moment.
But it's one of the things that we've said before on the show, is that if you're aware of the people around you, and there are people on their own, I'm not suggesting that you have to invite them to your place for Christmas particularly, but you might like to drop them around a meal, you know, just check they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. I wonder how many people do spend Christmas alone and maybe don't talk to anybody at all because everything closes down, doesn't it, for those few days.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed. And well, the final point on the blog that I'll link to talks about expectations and how, you know, we can all kind of aspire to that perfect Nigella Christmas, you know, when she's cooking in a nightgown and then an hour later all her pals show up and they have the most wonderful time. And that's not the reality for a lot of people, is it really?
Yeah. Yeah, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Mm. Yeah, it's not actually like that for lots of people.
No, I mean, you can create that by, you know, being a bit more adventurous in terms of inviting people around or, you know, actually going out and involving yourself in the community. But maybe we need to just check our expectations a little bit as well.
I you know, when people go and do soup kitchens and stuff on Christmas Day, make sure other people are okay. It's good. Good stuff to do.
Yeah.
There's something I need to mention as well about antidepressants. Is that I get lots of people at this time of year, especially if they want to have a drink at Christmas, start coming off their antidepressants, which is kind of understandable. But the problem is that because the antidepressant in maintaining your serotonin levels is effectively mimicking sunlight, if you come off your antidepressants too early, you end up in a situation where you get a double bang. The antidepressants are coming out of your system, which lowers your serotonin levels, and the light level is dropping, so you get this double bang in your serotonin malfunctions, really. So that if you are thinking about coming off your antidepressants, you need not to do it until it starts to get lighter. You did consider it until the end of March into April.
Okay.
It's starting to get lighter. You drop the medication out, the sunlight takes over. But I see quite a few people every year get themselves in a pickle because they try to come off of their antidepressants in the dark months and it doesn't work.
No, it's just it's like psych. No, I'm trying to think of the right analogy. I've lost it. No. Podcasting skills let me down.
Yeah, Alzheimer's.
181 episodes, Alzheimer's. And I still can't think of a decent analogy to it. Shortism. Hey, okay. Anything else you'd like to mention?
No, I'm cool. I'm good. My result of the week is, because I think it's really important, is it's the BBC food site, which is about cakes. And lots of cake recipes. Because I think that there's nothing wrong with enjoying comfort food, enjoying that wonderful sensation of the serotonin and the dopamine in your system. Yeah? Okay, you need to exercise, but don't deny yourself cake.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Very wise words, Sean. That's probably the most profound thing
he's ever said. Yes, eat cake.
181 episodes. That's the answer to all life's ills, hey. I'm going to link to some NHS stuff. There's loads of articles and advice online from our good old NHS, which I'll link to, which I think is all pretty relevant and useful.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
check it out, winter blues stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't suffer from winter blues, do we?
No. We got the winter red. One of the things that we'll look at as we get nearer Christmas is the issue of, which people have asked me to, that we should do before Christmas, is how do you survive the relatives?
Oh.
You know, how do you survive the people that you've actually got to be with at Christmas?
Yeah, I think we did something on that recently-ish, didn't we, about siblings? But yeah, okay, we can speak a bit more.
But it's one of my issues in that is that I get divorce season after Christmas.
Right after Christmas.
Yeah.
I've had it up to here with
it. Yeah, into January, that's it. And it's like, we need to try and avoid that. Okay. Have a good time.
Stay tuned, folks.
Yep.
All right. If there is anything else you would like us to discuss in upcoming shows, drop us an email via the website, livingthepresent.co.uk, and we'll get it booked in, won't we?
Sounds good to me.
We're going to bank a few shows, actually, in the coming weeks, aren't we? So we can...
So
I don't have to put up with you over Christmas, basically.
You don't get away with it that easy.
Yeah, not at all. Do drop us a line. Check out the website, Facebook, Twitter, anything. Just send us a message and we'll...
Instagram
as well. Yeah. Sorry, Ray. Yeah, that's good stuff all over the show. Right, Sean, take care.
Yeah, see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.